do thank everybody for coming out this evening. We ask you to open up your Bible and study right along with us and make sure we're teaching the truth. If there's something that is you believe is contrary, please go write the questioner, and we'll try to give a Bible answer for it. And so will the other brother. Turn to Luke, the 22nd chapter, and let's read verses 31 and 32. The Lord said, Son, indeed Satan has asked for you that you may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith shall not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Our Catholic friends believe that Peter was the first pope. The fact was he was infallible, and he never made any mistakes. But we can see throughout the scriptures he made plenty. And that's what we're going to talk about, the temptation that Peter had to go through at times, the trials and tribulations. And we go through the same thing today within our life. And we need to understand, just like Peter, we face these things and we got to learn to handle them. And the fact is, we got to try to remain faithful to God. And as Jesus prayed and asked, he says, I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And that's what we should be praying for when we offer up a prayer. When we talked about as a song from Six Bad Fans Saint, we need to turn to God in prayer more often than sometimes what we do. We ought to be thankful for everything that's been given to us. As we studied throughout the book of Psalms, the fact is we need to put our trust in God more than we do. And we need to understand that He is always there. He's always defending us. He will protect us. And we need to learn that likewise. Oh. Messed up already. Been a while. Okay. See if I can push the right one now. Okay. In the preceding verses, in verses 14 through 23, in this chapter, we see that Jesus was instituting the Lord's Supper at this point. And the fact that he was trying to get them to understand he was about to be put to death. And they needed to realize this, that his end was coming near. Then verses 24 through 30, they got into a strife among themselves, which of them should be counted as being the greatest. And he said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, that they exercise authority upon them, that they are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, he that is chief, as he that hath thus served. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you that as he that serveth. Ye are they which continue with me in my temptations. And I appointed to you a kingdom as my Father has appointed to me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, sit on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. They were arguing among themselves. Which one of us is better? Who's going to be Lord over his kingdom if Christ dies? Who's going to be head? Who's the better one of the 12 that was there at the time? In verses 31 through 34, Christ predicts within this chapter that Peter was going to deny Christ three times. But the fact is, Peter sinned. And there is a great temptation that we all fall into. And we need to understand that. The Lord knew three things about Peter at this point. That he would be tempted. That he would yield. And then he would be restored. Peter was likely a good candidate for being falling for temptation. For the fact that he occupied a distinguished place among the brethren or disciples at this time. And that if we turn to Matthew, the 15th chapter, he's one that recognized Christ as being the Son of God, while others weren't quite sure what to make of Christ. Matthew 15, in verse 15. Then answered Peter and said to him, declare unto us this parable. Jesus said, also ye are without understanding. Do ye not understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? So Christ, Peter is making his statements. Now turn with me to the 16th chapter, verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was quick. Now they answered and they said, well, some believe you're John the Baptist, some believe you're Elias. Now come back. But when he asked, who's the first one to answer? Peter. He's always had the answer. Always ready to speak up at the right time. Now drop down to verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. We see in the preceding verses that, again, he was telling Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to turn on me. Peter said, nah, that'll never happen, Lord. I'll never do this. In verse 22, this shall not be unto thee. I will not do this. That's what he's saying within these verses. Now turn with me to John 13th chapter. Let's read verses 8 and 9. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Again, Peter was quick to say, no, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, if I don't, you have nothing to do with me. Then Peter asked, go ahead, but make sure you do my head and my feet and my hands. Worship. Peter is one that likes to speak quick without thinking. And don't we do that sometimes? Within our life, sometimes we say something that is off the top of our head without thinking. How it may affect somebody else, what we say. He is overconfident. We can see this in Matthew, the 26th chapter, and verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all the men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. It's one of the things I was taught by my parents. Never say never. Because as soon as you do, you fall into that trap. Never say never. I'll never leave you. I've heard preaching brothers stand up behind the pulpit and say, I'll never teach false doctrine. I'll never leave God. I'll always teach the truth. Then a few years later, I see some of the brethren teaching false doctrine, went into denomination. Never say never. Peter said that. And he should never have done such. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 33. He said, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Well, we know what happened, don't we? Did he go to prison and go to death with Christ? He denied him three times, as Christ prophesied that he would happen. I'll never do this. I'll never turn on you. I'll never leave you. I'll be by your side at all times, Lord. And we read down the following verses. He fell. Oh, he's overconfident. And we need to understand that. Pay attention to these verses, 31 and 32. There's a temptation. There's got to be a temper. Also, what is to be done about this? Temptation of Peter, first the temper. Well, in verse 1, he's recognized as being Satan. In verse 31, it says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Satan is real. And we got to understand that. It's not imaginary. It's not a myth. We always have this picture of Satan, especially this time of year, of being red and having horns and pitchfork and easily recognizable. Satan. That's all we think of. That's what we picture when we mention the name a lot of times. But Satan is one that is easily disguised. Matter of fact, he's here with us if we worship God. We just don't realize. He's just as real and alive as when Eve was tempted back in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 1 through 6. Remember what happened? You're in the garden, and Eve was looking at this tree and the fruit that was on that, and the snake slid her around and said, look, take of it. You shall not surely die. He only had one word. It's all. One word. Changed the whole meaning of a sentence. And sometimes that one little word can get us in a great deal of trouble and lead us away from God. He tempted Christ in Matthew the 4th chapter. Christ was tempted three times by Satan. And he also used the scriptures on Jesus at that time. Now he knows scriptures. He knows what God's will is. Also the fact that Peter learned this very well in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who wrote this? Peter. Who better could tell us firsthand how Satan is than what he had to go through at this point? The character. He's subtle. And 2 Corinthians 11th chapter and verse 3. But I fear lest by any man, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtility, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Sneaky. Again, he only changed one word in the sentence as he tempted Eve. And that's all he does for us. Gives you that little bit to mislead you. He hates righteousness. In 1 Peter 5th chapter, verse 8, as we read, be vigilant, be sober. He's as a roaring lion waiting to devour those who were trying to do what's right. He is a murderer. In John the 8th chapter and verse 44, talks about Satan, and he says, ye are of your father, the devil, the lust of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Brought death into the world, didn't he? By tempting Eve, Adam? They died before God spiritually. Also brought physical death to this world. He is a liar. John 8, verse 44. Again, he is the father of it. He is the one that tells all that we hear on an everyday basis. He is behind it at all times. And we need to understand that. That we need to make sure that we try to do what's right, that we try to be truthful at all times. Because once we add that one word or change something, we're with Him. And we need to be careful of that. He's persevering. John 8 chapter again, verse 44. The fact is, He is constant. He is after us all the time. He will not let up. And we need to realize that likewise. He is constantly after our soul. He wants it. He already got those out in the world. He wants yours. He wanted Peter's. He wanted everybody he can get that follow after Christ. And He'll do anything and everything. And He will not quit in doing that. And He has been successful. Turn with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. In verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way, that leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Very few will find the truth and follow after it consistently. Many will follow after false doctrine. Look at all the denominations that we can see around the world. I lost count. I can't. Back in early 80s and 90s, I think there's at least 3,000. There's probably more. It keeps growing all the time. I don't know what the latest facts is on how many, or if you can even keep up the count. Because there's always a new one coming out. Somebody trying to change God's Word to suit them, that they can try to be found righteous and say they're going to go to hell. He has a purpose. He wants you. Luke, verse 31. Satan has desire to have you. He told Peter that. Christ told Peter, He said, this is who he wants. He wants you, Peter. That's what he's trying to get across to us. He wants us. He wants our soul. He will sift you. That is to sift, is to shake in a sieve, according to Thayer. Grain was agitated and shaken in a kind of a fan or sieve. The grain remained in the fan, the chaff and the dust were thrown off. So Christ says that Satan desired to try Peter, to place trials and temptations before him, to agitate him to see whether anything of faith would remain, or whether all would not be found to be chaff, mere natural odor, or false professions. This is what Barnes is saying at this time about this verse. Also, Matthew Henry says, He has challenged you. He has undertaken to prove you a company of hypocrites, and Peter especially, the forward of you. Some suggest that Satan demanded leave to sift them as their punishment for striving who should be the greatest, in which contest Peter perhaps was very warm, leave them to me, I will sift them for it. intercession of Christ. Christ said he told Peter, I pray for you, and he told him. He prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Shouldn't we be praying for one another? Prayer intercession does work. And he does intercede for us if we let him. In Hebrews the 7th chapter, verse 25, wherefore, if he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh to God by him, seeing that he liveth, ever liveth to make intercession for them. He pleads our case. He pleads our God, our cause before his Father. And then there's a subsequent duty that Peter and us must do. We got to strengthen the brother. That's what he told Peter to do. We strengthen by example. Now, yeah, we have difficult times in our life. We have trials and tribulation. We have sickness. We have diseases. Yes, we do have problems. Do we let it lead us away from God? Or do we try to remain faithful to God and try to continue to do His will? There's many of us that know that those who are sick, need surgery, fighting cancer, those who maybe lost loved ones, how do they react? Are you there to help strengthen them? Do you have a desire to tell them, I'm praying for you? If you need me and you need someone to talk to, I'll be there for you. Christ told Peter, I'll pray for you. I want you to strengthen your brother when you come back. Give them the strength. Hold them up. Be an example to them. By words. Turn with me over to 1 Peter. The first chapter. Read verses 6 through 9. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, who, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though ye have not seen him not, yet believe. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We should be praising God. We should be thanking God daily for everything we have. Do we realize? Do we ever think about what we are given by God on a daily basis? We need to tell those. We need to warn. Yes, you're going to have trials and tribulations, but there is no greater thing than to go through that. And by looking at Christ and keeping Him before us and making it through those trials and tribulations and say, I can stand. I can make it through the help of my God. The 5th chapter, verse 8 of 1 Peter. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh, seeking whom he may devour. We need to be telling, we need to be warning everyone. He's there. He wants you. He wants to destroy your soul. He wants to lead you to eternal damnation, because he wants all that he can be to be with him. Because he's not going to enjoy heaven. And he's going to take everybody he can to suffer right along with him. Don't you know people like that? Don't you know individuals that they always seem to run in a group? when they get in trouble? I could never understand why, when you win a big football game, you got to burn the town down. I can never understand that. But pictures and video of Morgantown, which is partially still standing, but they caught all these people out there burning couches and flipping cars over and supposedly celebrating. You think all of them thought about doing that? It only took a few. And they mingled in among the crowd and got them riled up, and it took off. That's what happens. We can be misled. We can be guided away from God. And it's just like that divine line. He's there at all times. 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We need to teach and we need to work on those. Grow. Continue. Study God's Word. If you need help, I'll be happy to help you. I'll be there. Let's study together. Let's learn what God has to say. Tell me, if we read this verse, tell me what you think is being said here. Let's discuss it. Let's apply it to ourselves. Sometimes we think about Israel being ignorant and they got to be really stupid, because here they are, they see the power of God time and time again. What happened? They leave God. They fall away. They're oppressed. Led back out. And then they're oppressed again. You think somewhere along the line they will learn what they need to be doing. We're the same. Turn around and apply it to ourselves. We're the same. We're no different from Israel. We make the same mistakes. Time and time again, if you ever discuss history, time and time again, countries make the same mistake over and over again. They fail to learn from the past and understand what they need to be doing. By words, exhortation, we need to pray for one another. How often do you pray for your brethren? I'm not just talking about church services. Outside of home. Before you go to bed, when you get up in the morning, do you thank God that you have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can depend upon? Do we pray for their health and well-being, that they'll continue to grow and be stronger, that this congregation will grow? Do we pray for that? Do we pray that those who are going through trials and tribulation can keep fighting onward and remain faithful to God? Do we give them the encouragement we need? Are we there for them on a constant basis? Yeah, we all get weak. Don't say you never do. Believe me. Because you're going to be just like Peter. We sit back and say, that will never happen to me. Yes, it will happen to you. Yes, you will go through these trials and tribulations. Yes, you will find out what it's all about. Temptation of Peter. There's a temper, Satan. There's an intercession of Christ. He prayed for Peter, that he stand firm, come back, and do the right thing. And that he would strengthen the brethren when he came back and made it right. How are we? Are we just like Peter? We go through the same trials and tribulations. We still had the same difficulties, the same problems that Peter had. We all make the same statements that Peter has. How do you stand? Were you one of those who speak up quickly? Say, I'll never leave God. I'll never do this. I'll never preach false doctrine. I'll never fall away. I'll never be misguided. I will never, never sin. I've heard brothers say, I have sinned for 24, 25 years. I've heard make statements. Well, I have sinned for a couple years. Really? You really make that type of statement? You better think. We sin every day of our lives. Every one of us. And sometimes we don't realize we're sinning before God because of sin and ignorance. Because we don't know everything that's in that Bible. And that's why we need to study on a steady basis, that we grow and learn what we should be staying away from and what we need to be really doing. We need to be growing. Yes, we do sin every day. We're all sinners. But the Romans told us that. We're all going to die for our sins if we don't make it right. Now, we may think something. We may say something out of the way. Somebody took it wrong. We don't realize it at times. You sin. Just didn't realize it. That's what we're pleading with you tonight. Don't be like Peter. In one way. The fact that he was so ambitious and so arrogant at times that he thought he was very super strong and could take watching Christ and be right beside him. He was the first one to leave. He stood far off and denied Christ 3 times. But he cried, realized what he'd done, and did what was right. And that's what we're pleading with you tonight. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, make it right before it's too late for your soul. You heard the word, you must believe that Christ came and lived on this earth, died upon that cross, and resurrected. The fact that we need to repent. Be willing to change our life and live for God, not for ourselves. My confession that confessed us that He was the Son of God, so He can confess us before His Father. Be baptized, immersed, buried with Him, in accordance with Romans 6th chapter. Rose up, new creature. New. Why is snow? Perfect. Believe it. That'll probably be the last time we're truly perfect. Because somewhere along the line, we always trip. We're going to fall. We're going to sin. We need to make it right. Once we become a Christian, we do make mistakes. We need to go to God in prayer, ask forgiveness of our sins. You brought reproach upon the church, upon the body. You need to do something about it before it's too late. Your soul's not worth losing. Believe it. Physical body, it's going to turn to dust. But your soul will live forever. Eternity. It's hard to grasp, but it's true. How do you stand? What are you going to do? Think about these things. Stand and sing the song, Invitation.